Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to get ahead or just keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape. Welcome to From Carpool to College. I am Tracy Amadeo.
And Tara Haritz.
And in our studio today, we have a special guest. We have a live professor from a university, and we will call him Professor Tom.
Hello,
Professor
everybody. Tom. Good to be here.
Thanks for having us today. The purpose of our episode today, parents, it might scare you a little bit, but we always say this podcast is for parents to say, wow. So you never have to say, wow, I wish I knew then what I know now. So parents, we're going to give you a little crystal ball situation, and we're going to learn from Professor Tom what behaviors a successful college student has, and hopefully you can identify those behaviors in your own child as you see them progress through middle school, high school years, and keep that end in mind. But we're going to have fun today, and we're going to talk about kind of the annoying behaviors that professors see in the classroom.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So we are always talking about different ways that we can help parents. And one of the things that we have been talking about is once students get accepted and once they make their way into college, right? So having Tom with us today is really important because we don't always get a chance to follow our kids into the classroom, nor should we, right?
Definitely not.
And not saying that, you know, we need to prepare them for every single situation, but it's nice to give them a little heads up on certain scenarios and different behaviors and things that could, we want them on the right foot going in.
For sure.
So, Tom, we're going to start off with some questions, but feel free to take them in any direction that makes sense to you. And one of the things that we'll start off with is if you could, in your own words, just think of one major way or one wish that you have that you would wish for more students to know walking into their freshman year.
All right. So we're going to start strong on the
yes,
questions.
Yes, we are.
I'm loving it, Tara. Thank you. And it's such a pleasure to be here. And for the folks listening by car, by phone, by home, by whatever, really, this is such a great opportunity to share from our perspective as higher education educators, kind of what's the other piece of the puzzle, right? So, you know, your son or daughter might be in a classroom, they're coming in, they're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, they really want to be successful. And there is some hesitation from students nowadays on what that actually means. And so, the one thing I wish from the get-go that students understood when they came in is, and of course I can't speak for every colleague, but I think most of us in higher education want to engage with our students. We want them to understand that college is not only a place, but it's an environment. It is a community. There's a reason why we have an adjective called collegiality. It's that ability to interact with others and to exchange ideas. So the number one thing I want to tell students is we are not something to be consumed. We are something to be collaborated with. Mm. So your professor is going to get up there and he's going to tell you or she's going to tell you what's what in the syllabus and what do you got to do. But they're also going to tell you that there's office hours. And if you have questions, you know, let me know and let's have a discussion, right? Classroom experiences are much richer when students come in engaging and wanting to be a part of that community, right? So it's not the frat parties. It's not what's going on outside. That also extends in the classroom. So I think the number one thing is we want you to be a part of it. We actually want you to contribute.
That's great. That's great.
I'm thinking about it, and Professor Tom and I have had many years of collaboration in different
yep.
ways, and I picture the different students that we've had.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Together
for
in our circles, and there has been a change in
yes.
student behavior.
100%. Yeah,
and we're not ancient people, Tom.
No, no, and, we're talking about a change that's not even a decade long, right?
This is it's like maybe post COVID. I hate blaming COVID, but I feel like it's post COVID.
It's certainly a abrupt shift in how we perceive the rules of engagement to be, right? I don't think it's generational. I agree with you. I think COVID certainly was maybe a benchmark that kind of shifted things, but this isn't generational. I don't think this is cultural. I think this is really just conditioned, right? And you kind of want to shake them out of it and just be like, hey, you know.
But like they're muted.
You know? I think that's a really good word. I didn't think about using that as an adjective, but you do kind of feel like, you know, I don't know if you've had it on the podcast before, people talking about the Gen Z stare.
No, we haven't. Talk about it. Because these are all the parents.
Yeah,
they need to know. Parents, listen to this.
So folks, you probably get it at home, to be honest with you. I've got to imagine you do. But, you know, you walk into a classroom and you're like, hey, everybody, how's everybody going? And then it's just, you know, crickets. And it's not even crickets. It's just this blank stare that's just waiting for what's next. It's not a stare of I'm not paying attention, because they're there in the moment, but there's no interaction. There's no back and forth. So I've walked into classrooms. It's like, how's everybody doing? And you don't hear anything, but they're just looking at you and they're as if to acknowledge, hello, we're here. What's next? You know, and so now I kind of joke. I said, you can't swipe me up like a TikTok. You know, nice. If it's going to be awkward silence, we're in it together, right? And so that Gen Z stare is that kind of like, I think like they're waiting for what's next. It's that constant stream, and maybe that's a social media thing. Maybe that's just how entertainment is, but there's that ability to interact, and really as parents, and if you have an opportunity for, you know, young adults to interact, say their hellos, at least if you can get them to at least respond to a hello and say, have a good day, you have no idea. Like, that's what my bar has come down to, that I get happy when I say, all right, that's the end of class. I'll see you all next week. And you have some students come up and say, have a great day, professor. I'll see you soon. And I'm like, wow, at least that bookended that somebody was paying attention. Maybe they were sleeping the whole time. I don't know. But it kind of bookends the experience, right? So there's times that I'm starved.
Wow.
Because
nothing like the movies.
Right? Oh, no.
Nothing like the movies. And how would we know as parents that's a typical, you know, situation in the college classroom?
For sure. It takes a lot of energy to stand up in a lecture hall of, you know, 40 to 60 to 80, 100 students and present information, right? I mean, that's our job as professors. We're there to share the leading body of knowledge of the day. We're not there to necessarily, you know, track every student through. We're not coaches like a lot of K-12 teachers need to be. And so, there's many of us that'll just get up there and we'll talk to ourselves for 45 minutes and that's the end of it. But I really feel that in the modern kind of pedagogy and the way that we want to do things is to have an active learning environment. We want folks involved. We want to push the questions to territories that lead to more advanced knowledge. And that happens with frequency, believe it or not. When a student might be in a entry-level class, you'd be surprised when Timmy or Susie come up and they're asking questions that are for three classes from now. But that's because they're really, really engaged. But I think a prerequisite for that type of behavior for that student that's really kind of taking it all in and eating it up is they're engaged. And they're establishing their personality in the community. Right. They understand that I need to have relationships with these people. I need to know my professors. I think we've all been there, and parents probably you as well. Like, you can remember a professor that had an impact on you.
Totally.
And that's probably because you had a relationship with them. You mm-hmm. you had coffee, you chit-chatted, you complained about classes together,
yes.
you know, because we're people first, right? And I think that's a component that sometimes I think is misinterpreted, that we're not people. We are a commodity that provides a service.
Mm.
And that steals away, I think, the beauty of the college atmosphere. Because if you wanted that, you could just watch a YouTube video.
Mm. Interesting.
You know?
Right.
Very true.
I know. It's a lot to digest. I'm still friends with, as you know,
yes.
my Italian professor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. So yes. Shout out to Professora Rosemary Guccia di Filippo. She...
And as you can see, the Italian still rolls off the tongue.
That's about it.
That's it.
Yeah, really. I'm sorry. I grossly disappointed her in my butchering of her name. But Tom and I took her Italian class together as a refresher. But
so
to your point, the relationships.
The relationships, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you had mentioned that, you know, saying hello or responding to, you know, questions, all of those things are important, I'm sure. Body language, where you even sit in the classroom can make such a difference, right?
Absolutely. All of that is, again, part of, you know, how you engage. I like to think of a classroom like when you're at a party at home. If you're sitting on the couch, you're sitting amongst your friends, you're talking, you're engaging, and then everybody looks and there's that one person just sitting in the corner, you know, playing with the dog, right? Or just sitting on their phone. And that's exactly what it looks like when we're in front of a classroom. And listen, it may be an 8 a.m. class. We're all struggling. Listen, I struggle on an 8 a.m. If I could walk in with slippers, I probably would. And, you know, we get it, but that's kind of our responsibility with the schedule to have it all fit in. And we can acknowledge that, right? And I think most professors are very happy to, you know, have the students be involved. I'm telling you, there is an electricity when a class is dialed in. When they're excited, they're talking to each other, they're comparing. You know, you kind of sit back and you're like, I'm going to see how this goes, right? I'm going to see where is this going to take us? Because, you know, we're committed to the learning aspect. And I think if I had to tie back to kind of those things that annoy us or those things that are kind of pet peeves, or number one, why aren't you engaged? I know as a professor, the first thing I think of is it me? Am I boring? Did I not present this good, you know, or well? Could I have made a PowerPoint? Should we have done a different activity? There's a lot of internal reflection because for us, it's a career. So I think as students, as parents, I mean, we got to be mindful. When you walk into a classroom is not a black box. So there is the speaker in the front. And there's going to be rows and rows. The closer you are, the more engaged you are.
Yes.
That is going to help your experience. You're going to feel like you're in it more. If you're going to sit all the way in the back in the corner, be on your phone, then you're not even there. And so you may be physically there, but, you know, that's about it. So, you know, placement, engagement, being able to connect. Here's another thing I'll add for parents, and if you really can impart this on your kids, it's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't get it. Nobody expects you to know it. And I think that's something that students are kind of a little hesitant about. They don't realize. So when you walk into class and we're having a topic and you're in the middle of, you know, having a conversation, like, okay, so, you know, who's having trouble with what I'm saying or who's not getting it or whatever. And they're all afraid. And it's like, you just learned about this in 15 minutes. I don't expect you to know it, right? So I just want to know if I can maybe present it differently or maybe I can wrap it up in an anecdote or something like that, right? So I don't know is just as important as I get it.
That's great.
I'm thinking about all these great nuggets you're giving us. And I'm thinking about how it's important for our parents to think about when it comes to selecting a college and helping their kids select a college,
yes.
Because I have two boys who are as different as the fingers on my hand. And I know my oldest can talk to any stranger on the street.
Mm.
and make a conversation and make fast friends. So him engaging with a professor would not be difficult. It could be a lecture hall of 300 people and that professor, legit, this has happened. The professor actually made him stay before he walked out of class and said, you, come back here. Mm-hmm. What's your deal? And wanted to know about him because he was such a standout.
Right.
And then, so not worried about his personality, his social skills, his ability to make connections. My younger guy is a little more introverted. He's still extroverted, but he's more of an ambivert. And he would not be the kind that would draw attention. He would rather wear the cloak of invisibility when it mm-hmm. comes to academia. Mm-hmm. So I would think, and we chose wisely for that, selecting a smaller college where his natural tendency to sit in the back, Professor Tom, as right. you were talking about those back row kids right. on the phones, that would be the comfort zone for my mm-hmm. younger kid.
Right.
But putting him in a smaller school where there's not 300 kids in a class, 200 kids in a class,
helps
50 kids.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Helps mitigate right. that. And you're kind of just kind of making that adjustment in small increments just with your college selection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we talked about our juniors right now in the winter of the junior year is college list season. And we're curating a list of schools that we're going to visit and we're going to apply to. And people talk about, I don't want to be silly and say size matters, but it does. It does.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
But why does it matter? And it's for situations just like Professor Tom is talking about, mm-hmm. really knowing your kid and knowing that a component of developing a relationship and engaging in your learning is part of the formula for success
right.
is important. So yeah. these are great, keeping the end in mind, working backwards.
Yeah.
How do we help parents understand and unpack all of this? Because they don't know unless they have friends who are professors. Mm-hmm. How are parents supposed to know what goes on in a classroom unless they're watching movies about it?
Right.
Yeah, and
which
things have changed
BS.
Since they've been in school themselves.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge just to piggyback on that thought, as we just said, that this shift that we're seeing is so recent, kind of so abrupt, that even from their experiences to the movies that they watch have not caught up to what we're seeing in the classroom today.
Correct.
Right. And so I'd love there to you kind of just say, okay, we're all going to wake up and it's going to go back to Goodwill Hunting, right? That's not going to happen.
No.
Right?
Or back to school.
Yeah, right.
For the older ones. Yes.
So I think in absolutely to that point, the selection of a school's environment, I think, is crucial, right? Especially in an age today where information is so democratized, where you learn it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're in the right environment, you'll be successful.
Right.
And, I think when it comes time to selecting colleges, sometimes we get rankings in the picture. We're looking at statistics and things like that. But again, you're living on campus. You're in that community. If we want a community in the classroom, we've got to have the students in the community that they can thrive in. And so the selection of where they go, that environment is crucial on the back end.
And you, Professor, will see who's missing a class,
absolutely.
Who's present. And in those smaller schools, there are more layers of support for that shaky kid where you can report out on your conduit online. Mm-hmm. There's all different programs that higher ed uses to kind of track these things and send flags to advising. Whereas in larger schools, it's, you can get lost in the sauce with that.
Yeah, for sure.
So parents, knowing your kid, how are they doing in high school? Are they handing in all of their work on time without you nagging them, without you checking PowerSchool or Genesis? How autonomous are they? Right? So these are all factors and considerations as we keep that end in mind. We want your kid to engage and flourish.
Exactly. So one of the things, Tom, that you had mentioned early on, you said the idea of it's okay to say, I don't know, mm-hmm. To show that vulnerability. That is totally fine. It helps everyone in the class, mm-hmm. not just you, but the other students who may have
absolutely.
Some, confusion about whatever it is or concern. So you're kind of an advocate. Is there anything else that you've noticed that students may worry about in the classroom, whether they've told you during office hours, in an email, whatever, in a conversation, that you wish that they wouldn't worry about?
Okay, I have a very hot take here.
I
hope we have enough time to flesh it out. It may have to be for
episode. Listen, this sit down, by the way, we here at Carpool to College understand that our parents only have a limited amount of time to listen to us. So we try to keep it between like a half hour, 25 minutes. But our interview is going to go on. We'll segment it. So you just go on with your bad self, professor.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. So here's the hot take. So just to rehash the question, is there things that students worry about that I feel they shouldn't worry about, or at least not give such a high priority? And get ready, their grade.
Oh, showstopper.
Yeah.
I know you're listening. You're looking at me like, well, that's the point. And you know, here's if you take that big picture and you pull it back, why are we sending our young ones to college? And you know, some folks will say, well, that's just what you do, right? But if you really think about it in that internalized kind of order of things, that chronology, is that you're going to go to college, you're going to learn the skills needed for your career, and then you're going to go have a career. And you're going to contribute to the world at large, right, in whatever way that looks like. And so really what the output is when you're leaving college is to have internalized the knowledge necessary to be able to be successful in your career. That doesn't always fit in a nice little box of A, B, C, D, et cetera, right? And or the path that you take to understand that material may take a couple of tries, may depend a lot on the instructor, the environment, what's happening on in life, you know, any of those types of variables. And so a lot of our students come in and they say, how many points do I need to get a B? And I just think to myself, I say, well, what does it matter? Right? Why don't we just try to synthesize as much as we know, and then I'll assess, because all the assessments, the tests, whatever, all that's doing is to see how much did you understand? How much do you actually know, so that you can go back and learn some more about it? So I think there's a gamification of grades maybe at the K-12 level, and they think that this is about gaining points in a video game, and then I have to have a certain score, and that means I won. But really, grades don't mean much when your degree is on your wall. No one's going to ask you what you got in your third semester in Professor XYZ's class. So I think there's a little too much focus on, well, what grade am I going to get, and more of, do I feel like I've actually understood?
Yeah, and when some of that worry goes away organically, it almost helps the student to just perform better naturally, because they are not as focused on it, and you know, they can enjoy it. And
that's right, they're focusing on content,
right?
Which is the purpose of signing up for a course, is to learn the content,
right?
Not to necessarily rank yourself as you're going through. Now, I understand that there's ramifications to failing courses and, you know, things like that. Of course, nobody wants to, you know, say that a grade doesn't matter per se. But, you know, there's something to be said when you're not just trying to get an A, and instead you're trying to learn intro to philosophy, or, you know, learn some English composition and say that I'm now a better writer, not I now have a B in English comp, right? So I think there's a reframing here of, you know, what are you there to collect? Are you there to collect knowledge, or are you there to collect letters?
Well, and that's what, you know, in high school, they work so hard to get that GPA. It's about the,
right.
It's about that.
Coming right off of that train.
And this is a different train.
Yeah.
And, but it is weird. I was just talking to the dean last week about grades, and she had a great quote. I wrote it down, and of course it's not with me, but she said that in high school, so much of the kids' grades are effort-based.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And in college, they're results-based.
Yes.
It's evidence-based, results-based. And there are less grade events in college in a semester, maybe three, maybe four major grades in a 15-week semester. Whereas in middle school and high school, you have four marking periods. And my God, how many grade events are there in middle school?
Oh,
like a miracle.
Boy,
I remember when I taught middle school, it was like, you know, you send a progress note that your kid has a C, right? Because God forbid,
right.
God forbid, the little gremlins have a C, right?
Oh, so
parents, you know how it is.
Don't
I'm the same way.
I
am part of the problem. I, Tracy Amadeo, am part of the problem. But I would have to send a progress note home. It, you know, a marking period is 10 weeks. And at the, you know, 5-week mark, mm-hmm. I would have to have a midterm grade, mid-marking period grade with a progress note sent home if it was a C or lower or just, you know, you're doing a good job, kid. And my God, if they had a C, wouldn't you know, by the next 5 weeks, miracle could happen. Mm-hmm. And it goes to an A.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with what we want.
Right.
It has nothing to do with permanent skill acquisition mm-hmm. and permanent knowledge storage.
Right, right.
It's not compounded interest. It's just checking a box. Right. And that's how our kids have been, not generally, but that's the habit, the academic habits of K to 12.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, just last night I was sitting with my daughter and her best friend at the kitchen table and we were talking and this exact thing came up. But they said, I don't know how to study for a midterm and a final. We don't even have those in high school. And that's all we're getting in college. That came right out of her mouth after talking about what sheet set they're going to pick out for freshmen, their dorm. So these are the top concerns.
Top concerns. Yeah.
But yeah, so they are coming in, right, with that little bit of a lack of learning or understanding that you're learning to gain knowledge, to build that academic like curiosity, right?
Yeah. And academic fitness.
Fitness, yeah. Right? And instead it's
And it's that transition, right, from a transactional experience to now a performative experience, right? So just you can't check the boxes and that's not enough. You have to show you've learned something. And I just wanna, you know, add as we finish that particular topic, right? To go back to when I talked about the Gen Z stare,
mm-hmm.
your conversation with your daughter where they recognize, I don't know how to do this. I am what do I do? That self-reflection is also really high in Gen Zs that we're seeing. So my freshman students, you know, some of they're like, we were never prepared or I don't know how to do, you know, mm-hmm. those, there is an understanding there. And so I do think where we as parents and as folks that are helping guide them through their academic planning, that we can be cognizant of that fact. And they're seeing that they need that help. They need to have some insight on how to do that. And it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to know how to kind of plug in those gaps. But again, going back to community, the more we talk about it, the more we know we have some tools that we can use at our disposal to help out with it.
And that's what we're here for on From Carpool to College. So Professor Tom, thank you so much for joining us in this part of our multi-part conversation. So we talked about what parents need to start thinking about, looking at as our kids are in middle school and high school, about those behaviors, about our attitudes on learning, the relationships we have with our mentors and our teachers and educators. We hope that these conversations give you things to think about and continue to research. This is your launching pad. So thanks for joining us today at From Carpool to College. Thank you, Professor Tom.
Thanks for having me. Love being here.
Love it. Well, please come back. And I'm Tracy Amadeo.
And Tara Horitz.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, we'd love for you to be a part of our growing community. Please share and follow our show. For those who want to support us further, join our Patreon site. Your support helps us create high-quality content and great episodes. Plus, our Patreon members get exclusive perks like bonus episodes, early access, and behind-the-scenes content that we think you're just going to love.
And now for some legal stuff. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational entertainment purposes only, and is provided as is with no guarantee of accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or outcomes. I could keep going, but I will spare you, and I will post this entire legal disclaimer on our website, www.academicmentoringllc.com, under podcast. Tara and I are so glad you joined us today on From Carpool to College. See you next time. Something like that.
Yeah.
Done?
That's good.
Okay, Chris, make that pretty, please. Pretty, please. Make it pretty, please. Lord Jesus, work with me as I stop this and save it to file. Here we go. Everyone say a prayer that this works.
Pray to the tech gods.
Here we go.